But I do have a message for the church. If you would, stand with me one more time. And I'm going to be reading from the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, and the 13th verse. I'm going to be reading a pretty lengthy passage, but I'll read quickly. And you may want to follow along, even though I've got it on the screen up here, because I'm going to have to switch through a couple screens. And so I want to make sure you can follow along. It is a familiar passage to most of us. And it says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now this is what I want you to get. Peter, in verse 16, speaks one of the most profound truths that has ever been spoken. And he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17, then Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus is so thrilled with Peter's answer that he pronounces just this wonderful blessing on him. And then verse 8:19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So at this point, we're all shouting and dancing and having a great time. The next verse says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, hear me now. The man that spoke one of the greatest truths in Scripture, six verses later, is speaking one of the greatest lies. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. You will not suffer. You will not die. There'll be no need for you to rise again. But he, that's Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. And his rebuke here is as strong as his praise of Peter just a few verses before. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I like to title my messages because I think that helps you to remember them down the road. And I really struggled with the first title that I felt like the Lord gave me, because I feel like it's darker than what this message really is. God wants to help somebody here today. But after praying and just struggling with it, I finally just decided to stick with what I originally had. And I want to speak to you for just a little bit about learning to live with a lie. Learning to live with a lie. Let's lift our hands and our voices unto the Lord one more time and ask for his blessings on his word, that he will touch somebody, that he will help somebody, that he will minister to somebody today. How many of you want to hear from God? How many of you want to draw closer to the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. We need your presence, Lord. We need your presence, Lord. We need your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you for standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Amen, amen. As I said, I truly believe God wants to help somebody here today. I know that's a heavy statement to say, learning to live with a lie. But the real purpose today of the message is to help you avoid learning to live with a lie. And if you will receive the word of the Lord, then that can be the case. But as we pointed out in verse 16, I'm going to do a little treaching today. Is that all right? Now, y'all know what treaching is? Some of you do. Some of you are not part of this. But I'm going to mix some preaching and some teaching together. We're going to call it treaching. But in verse 16 of our text, Peter had said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And as we already have pointed out, that is one of the most profound statements of truth that anybody has ever made. And it was such a profound statement of truth that Jesus commended Simon Peter and said, "You didn't get that from flesh and blood. That came from my Father which is in heaven." That's how that was revealed. And he goes on to commend Peter, and he uses three verses. He takes up three verses to pat Peter on the back. And he says, "What a great, great revelation that you've received." And he pronounces him the rock that the church would be built upon. He said, "Thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He gave him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And I believe that you can make the case that it was at this point where it was established beyond shadow of a doubt that Peter was going to be the future preacher of Pentecost. Did you hear me? Because he said, "I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." And on the day of Pentecost, Peter was the man that unlocked the door.
Yes, he did.
He was the man that had the keys. He had the keys to the kingdom, and he opened up the door of salvation to the world on the day of Pentecost. But in verse 21, after Jesus has just patted him on the back and told him what a great, great person he is, and what a great revelation it is, and how marvelous, and he's got the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and he's the rock, and all this other kind of stuff. In verse 21, Jesus says, "I'm going to have to die, and I'm going to have to be buried, and I'm going to rise again the third day." And in verse 22, the same man that spoke a great truth just a few verses before now speaks a lie. I know some of you are struggling with this already because you're saying in your mind, lie is too strong of a word. I know how you're thinking. Because you're saying that in your mind, a lie is only a lie when you know that it isn't true. If you say something and you believe it to be true, then you're innocent, right? And you haven't really lied. But Jesus, I want you to notice, didn't rebuke Peter directly, because Jesus knew it was a lie. And Jesus knew who the father of it was. And so Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because Satan is a liar and the father of liars. And it was a lie because Satan put it in the mouth of Peter. And Satan knew it was a lie when he put it there. And so it was as profound of a lie as the truth that Peter had spoken earlier. It was a lie that was inspired by the devil when Peter said, "This will not happen. You will not die. You will not have to rise again. You will not suffer." Peter was a good man. Everybody agree with that? He had a good heart. Can we agree with that? I preached last week about the importance of having a perfect heart. You remember? And we talked about the fact that just because you do wrong things sometimes doesn't mean that your heart is necessarily wicked. David, the Bible said, had a perfect heart. And Peter was like David. He wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but his heart was good. He was a good-hearted man. He meant well. Matter of fact, after he denied Jesus, the Bible says that his heart convicted him and that he went out and he wept bitterly because his heart was a good heart. His intentions were good. He meant well when he told Jesus, "You won't suffer, you won't die, and you won't rise again." His intentions were pure, but his good intentions did not stop him from saying something that was not true. Now, it doesn't tell us this in Matthew's version, which we read, but Mark's version says that Jesus rebuked Peter after he turned and looked at the other disciples. In other words, Jesus heard what Peter said. Then he turned and he looked at the other disciples, and they're all standing around sitting there saying, "Okay, what do you think about that, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "I've got to correct what has just been said. Because if I don't correct what has been said, it could become a stumbling block to the other disciples." He looks at the other disciples and he's thinking to himself, "They need to know I am going to suffer. They need to know that I am going to die. They need to know, however, that I will rise again." Can you say praise the Lord? They need to be corrected in their false assumption here, the mindset that Peter has placed into them, because my death, burial, and resurrection is the reason that I've come. And I cannot let this go unchallenged. I cannot let this man say this and walk away from here with these disciples thinking that this could be the truth, because it is not the truth. The Bible says that this is the reason why Jesus came. He came to suffer. He came to die. He came to be buried, and he came to be resurrected. Peter got everything right about who Jesus was, and he got everything wrong about why Jesus came. Are you still with me today? Amen. Jesus was very quick to correct the lie. How many of you ever heard of a fellow by the name of Joseph Goebbels? Anybody ever heard of Goebbels? He was the propaganda minister for Hitler. He was the man that put out all of their promotions and their literature and all this. And he's famous for saying, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. Amen. He was basically saying that the Nazi government should just keep telling big lies, and sooner or later the people would believe them. And if we're not careful, government will do that today. Can you say amen? And Jesus knew that a lie had to be challenged, because if there was a seed of doubt that was sowed in the minds of his disciples about his resurrection, it would only get worse after he rose again. Amen. If there was any suspicion that he didn't really die, then somebody was going to say when it was all over, "Jesus didn't rise again because Jesus didn't really die. Jesus didn't really pass away on that cross." Somebody would say he never really rose again. And Jesus knew that he could not let his disciples get comfortable with this lie. They had to be told the truth. They could not be allowed to just live with it. He had to cut it out. Even today, there are people who are saying that Jesus didn't really die. Even today, there are people that are saying, "Well, he died, but he didn't really rise again." And different ones have their different explanations, and different ones say different things about it. And Jesus was saying, no. You need to understand that this is central to everything that I'm doing. I am going to die. I'm going to suffer first. I'm going to die. And then I'm going to rise again. And you better get that in your mind and in your heart if you don't understand anything else. And so when Jesus rebukes Peter, he doesn't go after Peter personally. It wasn't anything personal with Peter. But he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because he understands that Peter is just a well-intentioned tool of the enemy. You know, you better learn that when you're dealing with people. And you better quit fighting people when you need to be fighting spirits. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And when something wants to come between you and your brother or your sister in the church, and you think that it's all about them, and you think that it's about you versus them or them versus you, you've missed the point. You've got it all wrong. Because we are fighting against something that is bigger than us, and we've got to have something bigger than that on our side. And you better get full of the Holy Ghost and understand where your strength and your help comes from. It's a spiritual battle. And so Satan was using Peter to lie to Jesus. Jesus didn't attack Peter, he attacked the false spirit behind the statement. That's what he did. Peter was a victim here. Peter was a victim, a well-meaning, well-intentioned victim who got caught up into a lie that was sowed into his mind and his heart by the enemy. So if I could summarize what has happened here, let me just quickly recap. I'm headed somewhere with this. Y'all hang on. Can I have a drink of water? Y'all don't mind, do you? Here is the summary. The summary is a person can speak truth one minute and a lie the next. A summary is a person can have good intentions and still speak a lie. Good intentions don't protect you from saying something that isn't true. The third summary point is when you make false statements, those statements can be a stumbling block to somebody else. And Jesus looked on the disciples and said, "I got to deal with this." The point number four is Satan is the father of lies, and he is the great manipulator. And we've got to be wary that he doesn't use us. But we also have to understand that when he's using someone else, they aren't the enemy, but he is. Amen. Our battle, again, is not against a brother or a sister or even another person, but our battle is against a spirit. Praise God. And we've got to recognize that and understand that. The book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and I'm not going to put it up on the screen. Most of you are familiar with it. But remember, I'm doing some preaching here today, if that's all right. It lists the armor of God. How many of you are familiar with the armor of God in the book of Ephesians? Well, I got something new from it just this week. I've studied it, preached it dozens, if not hundreds of times. But I got something new. I love how the Word does that to us. But it tells us that in the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter, it says, "Truth is our girdle." Now, the girdle protects the reproductive organs. And so he says, truth protects the reproductive organs of the church that bears children. Righteousness is our breastplate, protects the heart. I preached about the heart last week. The gospel is our shoes, propelling the message to the world. Faith is the shield that we use to defend ourselves against attacks from the wicked. Salvation is the helmet that protects our minds. And the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Amen. And I know some of you have heard this, but I'm about to show you something different, something special. Say, "Show me something special, Pastor." All right, I will. Okay. Now, you've probably heard this before, that all of the parts of the armor are defensive except the word. The word is a sword. It's an attack weapon. Everybody with me on that? That may be a revelation to some of you. I know it's not to everybody, but that's good. That's okay. We're all learning something new here. The word is the only one that is a weapon. It is the only one that is designed for attacking. But here's what the Lord showed me this week. I got to studying that a little bit deeper, a little more in depth, and I never really, you know, there's two Greek words for word in the New Testament. One of them is logos. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the second word for word, Greek word, is rhema, which means spoken, breathed Word of God, preached Word of God, confessed Word of God. And I said, you know, I've never looked at it when he said the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And I said, well, which word is he talking about? Hear me now. And I came to understand and realize that the Greek word there is rhema. And I said, what are you trying to say? What he was trying to say to us is the word of God is only effective if you speak it. If you say it, if you use it as the weapon that it's intended to be. If the enemy comes against you and you never use the word of God, then you're going to be constantly getting beat down. But if you will confess and speak and proclaim the word of God, God can work miracles in your life. Jesus gave us an example of this. Jesus gave us an example in the wilderness. What happened when the enemy came to him? When Satan came to tempt him in the wilderness, the first thing he said was, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Because Jesus has been fasting for 40 days, right? He's hungry. Right. So Satan comes along and says, just make these stones into bread. And Jesus did what? What was his attack? What was his how did he respond? He responded by quoting the word. He pulled out rhema. You hear what I'm saying? He pulled out rhema word and he said, I will just quote it back to you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so the enemy came back and the enemy took him up on the top of the temple and said, throw yourself down because the Bible says that angels will bear you up and you won't be hurt. And Jesus said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to whip out the rhema sword again and I'm going to speak it back to you and I'm going to say, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the enemy came a third time and said, I will give you all of the kingdoms of the world if you'll bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, let me break out rhema word one more time. I'm going to pull my sword out. And he said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. If you'll reach into your scabbard and pull out the rhema word, God will use it to fight off the enemy. Hallelujah. Does anybody believe that today? I'm here to tell you that what you say matters. Somebody said, oh, but God already knows what I'm saying. He knows what's in my heart. I don't care whether he knows it or not. I know he knows it. That's irrelevant. He still said, confess it. He still said, speak it. And you say, well, why? Why should I speak it? Because you can keep your sword in your scabbard and never accomplish anything. You're not speaking the word for God's sake. He's not the one you're attacking. You're speaking the word for that spirit that has come against you. You're speaking the word for the devil's sake because he doesn't know what's in your heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I feel good. Listen, what you say matters both good and bad. Hear me, folks. Some people never get this revelation. Listen to this. Did you know Satan is not omniscient? Now, for those of you, that's a $10 word there. What that means is all-knowing. Now, God is all-knowing, right? There is not one verse of Scripture that says Satan is all-knowing. Not one. You know what that means? David, it means he has no idea what's going on in your heart right now. Satan cannot read your mind. He has no idea what you're thinking right now. God knows. Satan doesn't know. He doesn't know what's in your heart. He doesn't know what's going on. And the reason you need to pull out the Rhema word of God is because if you are constantly speaking defeat and discouragement and depression, then what's going to happen is that's all the devil's going to hear from you. And when that's all that he hears from you, he's going to say, you know what? That's what I need to work on, because that's what that person is bound by. I don't like telling him none of my secrets. There may be things that I'm tempted with. There are things we're all tempted with that we all struggle with. But I'm not going to tell the devil. Why? Because I don't want him to come back with an imp and make it worse. There are some things that we're tempted with because we are human, because we are flesh. They are part of our flesh. Somebody said, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. Your flesh made you do it. You just told the devil what you wanted to do. And all he did was took credit for it. He provided the opportunity. And then he took credit. Hear me. Listen now. Listen. The Bible, this is not in my notes, but I just feel led to share this with you right now. The Bible tells us to resist the devil. But the Bible tells us to run from our flesh. It says, flee youthful lusts. It says, stand and fight the devil. But there's something worse than the devil, and that's yourself. The devil doesn't scare me today. Not one little bit, but this flesh right here scares me to death. And you better learn and understand the difference between the two. Because it is not the devil that causes you to sin. What gets most people in trouble is not the devil. It's your own flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Some of y'all may not believe that, but I'm just telling you. He didn't say it just once. He said on more than one occasion, flee youthful lusts. Flee, run from it. Well, I'm big, bad, I'm tough, I can handle it. No, you can't. You better understand that some things you don't stand toe-to-toe with, but you better understand that you've got to run from them. Hallelujah. So the word is our weapon. Satan is not all-knowing, and what we say matters. You need to learn to speak good things. I'm not saying there's not a time for you to confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I'm not saying that. Don't. There's a time for that. But folks, there also has to be a time where you understand that out of your mouth comes blessings and cursings. And you've got to realize that if I will bless the Lord at all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I want the devil to know that every time he comes around, Mike Crocker, he's going to hear a blessing. He's going to hear a blessing. He's going to hear a blessing. Amen. And so if God's weapon is pure truth, which is the word of God, if that's his weapon, that's our weapon, what do you think Satan's counter weapon is? The opposite, which is a pure lie. God's weapon is truth. Satan's is a lie. Jesus said in John 8, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father, the devil. Boy, a lot of folks couldn't handle that kind of preaching today, could they? You tell somebody you're of your father, the devil, and they'll find a church where somebody won't call them that. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. What I'm trying to say to us today, folks, if we're not careful, we can reach a place where we become accustomed and used to living with a lie. Satan will lie to us so often, so big, for so long that we will get used to it. It will dominate our thoughts. It will lead to things like depression and discouragement, and we'll become so accustomed to them that we can't see the lies for what they are. We have got to to break that cycle in our minds and in our hearts. I like what Sister Lacia testified about today, because what she was saying is, you know how it is. When things, bad things start happening, the first thing all of us do is, here we go again. We start thinking, I'm right back in the same old bad situation. But you've got to realize, hey, he's in control no matter what's going on. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to stand on the promises of his word. I'm going to trust God. If he brought me to it, he's going to bring me through it. You got to break that cycle, and you've got to guard your mind. Hear me, folks. You got to guard your mind. I have found, I'm hurrying. Listen. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Romans, Paul said in Romans, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I can tell when things start affecting my spirit. You better learn to become sensitive enough to the Holy Ghost to see that yourself. Not that I'm anything special. I love to listen. I used to love to listen to talk radio, and to this day, I love to listen to podcasts. I've traded talk radio in for podcasts. With the wonders of modern technology, I've got all the podcasts. I've got podcasts about everything from politics to science to insurance. I know some of y'all would love to hear some insurance podcasts, wouldn't you? You got financial planning podcasts and podcasts about this, about sports, and podcasts about everything. And I get so wrapped up on these things. But you know what? After a while, sometimes I start feeling like my spirit is just getting kind of dirty a little bit. And I start feeling like that I just need a bath. And there are times when I realize I got to step back away from the podcast. I got to step back away from everything else and just get back into the presence of the Lord and just get back into the Word of God and just get back, hallelujah, just get back into some good gospel music. Get back into something that's going to wash me. Get back into something that's going to elevate me. Get back into something that's going to cleanse my mind. I got to get out of what's dragging my spirit down. Why? Because Paul said, for to be carnally minded is death. Let me say that again. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, Paul said, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, we are in a battle, and the battle is for our minds. You hear me? Why do you think Jesus over and over said to his disciples, what think ye? Even when he knew what they were thinking, he said, what think ye? Because if you don't understand that what goes on up here affects what happens right here, then you have got a problem. And we're surrounded. You know, we watch things. We're inundated with social media. We're inundated. And we've learned how to live with lies.
Come on, bro. Oh, Jesus.
I got under conviction that I'm closing here in just a bit. I'm almost done. But I got under conviction Brother Curry, when we started the church in Anderson, I didn't even have a television set, much less a social media and you know, telephones and mobile phones and all these other kind of things.
What did you do, Pastor? How could we live without Netflix? How can we survive without Amazon Prime? And I started thinking about it. And I was reminded of the fact that we had church on Sunday morning. We went out to eat and fellowship with the brothers and sisters, usually for a couple of hours, went home, got that Sunday afternoon nap. Thank you, Jesus. Came back to the house of God Sunday night, had church, went back to fellowship Sunday night after church. On Monday night, we had family night after working all day. On Tuesday nights, we had prayer night down at the church. On Wednesday nights, we had Bible study. On Thursday nights, we were teaching home Bible study somewhere. On Friday night, we were at a revival or a rally somewhere. And on Saturday, we were on visitation. Somebody said, what did you do with your time? I'm telling you, what the enemy has done is he has learned how to feed us a lie. And we have learned how to live with it. And because we're so wrapped up in the things of the world and the cares of this life, we now say we don't have time for the things of God anymore. We live the church because that was all we knew. Everything was the church. Now, we've got all these other things. And I'm as guilty as anybody, folks. I'm as guilty as anybody. But somewhere we got to learn how to back things back off and go get back to our first love. I've had to unfollow a lot of people on Facebook. I've got to where I hardly ever look at it anymore. You know why? Because I'm not going to let Satan use somebody to feed me a lie. I found too many times I'd pull up Facebook and somebody would say something that would just irritate my spirit. I just want to be fat and happy. Sometimes I find out more about people than I want to know. I don't really want to know that. Well, preacher, it's your job to know. It's my job to preach the Word of God. And it's my job to preach whatever God shows me and whatever God gives me. I don't need to know the rest of your personal business. If God wants me to know it, He'll show it to me. We get these, we're constantly fed a steady diet of lies through television and through social media. You know, the Bible says that the Spirit of Truth, when the Spirit of Truth has come, what will He do? He will guide you into all truth. And sometimes you better say, listen, my spirit is feeling a little sour tonight. I think I'm going to skip Netflix. I think I'm going to skip the television. I think I'm going to skip Facebook. I think I'm going to skip Instagram. I think I'm going to skip all of these other things because I need to get alone with Jesus. We need to deal with what's going on down in here because I don't want to get used to living with a lie. But you know, you have to be willing to listen for the Holy Ghost to be able to tell you that. I'm going to say one last thing. Two last things, real quick. Who you associate with also matters. Don't you run around and you know, you can't live victorious and have a positive state of mind. And I'm not talking preaching the power of positive thinking. But I tell you what, people can criticize that, but Paul did preach that to a degree. He said, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Yes. Amen. And what we've got to do, when you hang around people who are constantly dragging you down, you need to learn how to recognize that in the spirit and separate yourself from them. You don't need to let people feed you a steady diet of lie. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if you've got a spirit of fear, it didn't come from God. That's right. I like what that song said that they sang earlier. Even when I don't feel it,
yes,
you're working.
Amen.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Feelings can be deceiving. Feelings can lie to you. Amen. Let's stand. God wants to touch somebody's mind here today. And the enemy would love nothing better than to try to hinder, because that's what he does. But you know what? Somebody needs to proclaim it. Listen, we're going to pray here in just a minute. I just feel this in my spirit right now. As we pray, and you're struggling with things, and you're battling with things, you need to speak out by faith. And you can say, well, Pastor, I don't believe all that's necessary. But then you go on and live in your mess.
Come on, that's right, Pastor.
But I'm telling you, the Word says to confess. And what you need to do is you need to openly confess. It doesn't tell us just to confess our sins, but it tells us to confess good things. And what you need to do is you need to speak out by faith, and you need to say, I am healed in the name of Jesus. Let's pray right now. Hallelujah. As they sing something for us, I want you to pray right now. And if you're battling with things in your mind right now, I want you to speak it out and say, I speak peace. I speak deliverance. I am healed. I am set free in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am delivered. I am free. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Somebody needs to speak it by faith. I said somebody needs to speak it by faith. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Take me back, oh, take me back, dear Lord. Is there anybody that would like to gather up here around the front? Anybody like to come? Come on, somebody needs to claim their healing up here right now. Take me back, yes, take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Oh, received you. Take me back.